Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
How many are ready for the word this morning? I'm ready to preach it. I said I'm ready to preach it. We're in the 10th week of the sermon series, the final chapter. Everyone say the final chapter. Through this series, we're walking through the book of, which is the last book of the Bible. And today in the 10th week, we're in the 10th chapter of Revelation. In this chapter, we have what seems to be a brief pause between the 6th and the 7th trumpet. We are now halfway through the tribulation. There are 3.5 years left. And while the church is in heaven, praise God, on our 7-year honeymoon, the world is on earth going through hell. That's not a praise God. Because people we know, people we live with, do life with, we love, will be left behind. And will face all that comes. But in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, the Bible says there will be no more delay. The Voice translation says the wait is over, or time is running out. The Contemporary English version says the wait is over. But that can be translated as time's up. The title of my sermon today is Time's Up. Everyone say, time's up. The Bible says it. We believe it. But when will we see it? Let's jump into the Word. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, then I saw another extremely powerful angel coming out of heaven, robed in a cloud. There was a halo over his head like a rainbow. His face shined like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He held a little open scroll in his hand. He set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, almost like a sumo wrestler, right? He gave a tremendous shout, almost like a sumo wrestler, like a lion's roar. When he shouted, the seven thunders responded, rumbling out their messages. Today, we're going to hear what their message is. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that right now, in this moment, in this service, on this day, to these people, those in person and those online, that you would speak. God, that you would give revelation to your people, to your church. You would give revelation to every person in this place, every person listening online. God, you would open up eyes, ears, minds, hearts today and give us revelation of your word, of your truth. And God, that it would lead us day by day, step by step, decision by decision, that we would follow obediently. Lord, anoint the receiver and anoint the deliverer right now. In your mighty name, we're ready. Everyone says, amen. I want you to try and visualize this vision that John saw. The Bible says that he saw a mighty angel coming down from heaven, robed in a cloud. Have you ever seen anyone robed in a cloud? With a rainbow halo over his head, with a shiny face, and his voice was like a roaring lion. There's so much symbology in this verse, and it can be very confusing. How do we interpret this verse, church? We can get lost in this first verse in both the symbology and also man's interpretation, which is really just speculation. But don't get lost in the symbology or man's speculation, because remember, the last book of the Bible is titled Revelation, not speculation. And what does revelation mean? To reveal, to make known. And remember, Jesus said to John, write down this revelation. Why? To confuse us and to lose us? Absolutely not. Remember, Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God wants to give His church revelation. He doesn't want to confuse us or lose us in the translations or in man's interpretation. He wants to give revelation. Point number one, revelation is to reveal, not to confuse. I said revelation is to reveal to you, not to confuse you. God doesn't want to confuse His people. Think about it. God doesn't want His church walking around confused today, not knowing where heaven or hell is, what's right or what's wrong, or what's up or what's down. He wants to give His church revelation in this hour of history so that we will know what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong, and we won't be confused like the world. Because the world is very much confused in this hour of history. They don't know what to believe. They don't know who to follow. Because there's so many voices speaking in this hour. God wants to give His church revelation. But there's a lot of confused Christians walking around today who don't know where heaven or hell is, what's right or what's wrong, what's up or what's down. And confusion will get you lost. It's like this. If you have two people trying to give you directions, different directions to the same place at the same time, if you try to follow both of them at the same time, it will confuse you and lose you. See, the problem is Christians today are trying to follow directions from two different sources, from the world and from God. And they're confused and lost. But God doesn't want to confuse His people. In fact, He wants to unconfuse His people. He wants to unconfuse the world. And He wants to give revelation to His people. And He is giving revelation to His church. Proverbs 6:23 in the Passion Translation says, for truth is a bright beam of light shining into every area of your life, instructing, correcting, and directing you to discover the ways to godly living. And then in Luke 8:10, Jesus said, you, which is who? You. His people have been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom. And what is that really speaking of? What's the title of the last book? Revelation. So the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom is revelation. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Jesus said to the disciples, you've been given. Come on, church, say given. Given. Revelation has been given to you. Revelation has been given to His people, to the church, to the body of Christ in this hour of history. God has given revelation to us, like the disciples. And like John, we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And while many are confused and others don't understand, we can visualize this angel and we can understand this symbology because we've been given revelation. This angel was robed in a cloud because he's been hanging out in heavenly places. Throughout the Bible, a cloud is often associated with the glory and the presence of God. And in Exodus 40, 34, the Bible says, "Then the cloud, the Shekinah, God's visible presence, covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." My prayer in this hour of history is that the glory of God would begin to fill the sanctuary once again, that it would cover this tent of meeting every time we get together. The Voice translation says, "At that moment, a cloud blanketed the congregation tent." Come on, church, what if we saw this sanctuary, this congregation, covered by a cloud in the midst of a service? The Shekinah glory, the visible presence of our Almighty God. If He did it back then, can He not do it again? And the glory of the Eternal filled the sanctuary. My prayer is that in the weeks, in the months, in the days, in the services ahead, is that the glory of the Eternal One will begin to fill this sanctuary and will begin to fill our sanctuaries day in and day out, not just in a service, not just once a week, but every day. Church, this isn't confusing. This is really, really simple. This angel was robed in a cloud because he had been in the presence of God. He had been in the Shekinah glory. He had spent time with Jesus. And this rainbow halo also represents the glory of God. In Revelation chapter 4, John describes the throne of God. And in verse 3, he said that a rainbow encircled the throne of God. But this was no regular rainbow, because a regular rainbow is a half circle. This was a full circle. He said it encircled the throne of God, and it encircled the angel's head. In the Old Testament, a rainbow pointed to the promise of God's mercy on the world. The rainbow was given by God. It was a sign. Listen to me. It was a sign given by God to serve as a promise of mercy on the world. But today, it serves a completely different sign. Church, we need to reclaim the rainbow. It's been misrepresented. It's been perverted, in fact. Point number 2, and I know I'm going to get some heat on this, but that's okay. I'm just going to preach it. The rainbow represents God's promise, not gay pride. I said the rainbow represents God's promise, not gay pride. And again, I'm just going to preach this. I'm just going to preach the truth, because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. But there's just too many confused people in our society today, even in the church. So our prayer, church, is that we need to pray that God would begin to give revelation to the world to what the rainbow really represents, His promise, not gay pride. But note that this rainbow encircling the throne conveys that God's throne is a throne of mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah for His mercy. So His throne is a throne of mercy to everyone who is confused. He wants to unconfuse the world. But His throne is also a throne of promise. It's also a throne of justice. In Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness." Other translations say iniquity. In the Old Testament tabernacle, the mercy seat sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Come on, church, think of the symbology here. His mercy was seated above the law. And in James 2:19 or 2:13, the Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. In the Voice, it says, "But hear this, mercy always wins against judgment. Thank God." And then the Living Bible says, "God's mercy toward you will win over His judgment against you." Again, praise God. So today, I don't preach this message out of judgment. I preach it out of mercy. Mercy on lost and confused souls. Point number 3, God's mercy is greater than His judgment. I said His mercy is greater than His judgment, and His mercy will win out over His judgment against you. See, while many in the world and even in the church today are confused, His mercy is sufficient. But He doesn't let us stay confused. How many know that? Because being confused is basically being lost. See, those who receive His mercy won't receive His judgment. But those who refuse and abuse His mercy, they will receive His judgment. John said, this angel's face shined like the sun. I want you to picture this, like this. You should recall when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, after spending time in the presence of God, the Bible says that his face shined like the sun. Some of you got that. His face shined like the sun, just like the angel's face shined like the sun. Why? Because they had spent time in the presence of God. Think of about something that glows in the dark. How do you make it glow in the dark? You have to first expose it to the light, right? And because I can't reach that light, I'm going to use this light and expose it to the light. I'm just going to keep it on here for just a second. But if this was never exposed to the light, it would never shine. Come on, Christian. The only way that you will shine in this world is by being exposed to the light. Come on, I said the only way you will glow in this dark world is by being exposed to the light. And the more exposure, the more you glow. But the less exposure, the less you glow. John said his voice was like a roaring lion. They say that a lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away. Think about it. Sometimes I feel like JoJo's voice can be heard from 5 miles away because the highness of his pitch is just piercing to my ears. They also say that when a lion roars, he's getting ready to take his prey. Or he's claiming his territory. It's a lot of symbology. In Joel 3:16 in the Amplified, the Bible says the Lord thunders and roars in judgment. And then it goes on to say that the heavens and the earth is shaken, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people. And while the lion roars in judgment, remember, mercy always triumphs. Praise God. So this lion is both getting ready to judge his prey, but also claim his territory. Or can we say his people? Come on, church. Jesus is referred to as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And listen to me, Jesus is getting ready to both judge his prey, but also claim his territory. The hour is at hand. Jesus is getting things ready. And I thought I'd get a little bit more excitement from you Christians today. Because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So we see many similarities with this angel and Jesus. In fact, many scholars say that this angel is Jesus. How many's ever heard that? Nobody's ever studied Revelation. While others say it's not. But here's what I want you to get. Here's what I believe we should draw. Here's the revelation that I believe we need to draw from this passage. This angel looks and sounds a lot like Jesus because he spent time with Jesus. He's been hanging out in heavenly places with Jesus. He spent time in the presence and the Shekinah glory of God. How many's ever started dressing like or sounding like the people you hang with? Let me see your hands. See, when you spend time with someone, you start sounding like, looking like, acting like, dressing like that person, whether you want to or not. Hear me out, teenagers. You are greatly influenced by the people you spend time with. Young people, how many times have you caught yourself using the same words and the same quotes as the people you hang with, your friends. Come on, think about it. And how many would agree young people's language today is ever-changing? In fact, it's almost impossible to understand what they mean when they speak. I'm like, are you speaking English? Young people have a language of their own. And can I get an amen from the old people? But this isn't something new. This has went on in every generation. Some of you might remember saying things like spectacular, out of sight, radical, tubular. But if you were really cool, you said cowabunga, dude. Right? Way back in the day. Today, teenagers use words like lit, dope, Gucci, snatched, sick, salty, OMG, IDK, SMH, TBH. And listen, grandparents, don't spend too much time hanging out with your grandkids, because you'll start trying to use those same slang words, and it ain't right, y'all. I overheard a grandfather this week trying to use words like lit and dope. And he didn't even know how to use them. Can you imagine if Bill came up to me after service and said, "Yo, Pastor, that sermon was lit, you dope." It don't make you look cool. Don't do it. Whether you want to or not, you slowly become who you spend time with. It's like this. Most of us have become our parents, whether we wanted to or not, right? Don't raise your hand, guys, but how many of your wives have turned into your mother-in-law? Right? This angel sounds and looks a lot like Jesus because he spent time with Jesus. It's just plain and simple. Now, after all, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Shouldn't we all look and sound a lot like Jesus today? Isn't that the purpose of Christianity? To be a Christian is to be Christ-like, right? I mean, if you disagree with that statement, you might as well go ahead and choose another religion. Because to be a Christian is to look and to sound like Jesus. This angel's face and Moses' face shine like the sun because they spent time in the sun. They spent time with the sun. My face shines this morning like the sun, not just because I've been enjoying summer, although I have. And how many are upset that summer is almost over? Just a couple of us. But because I've been in the presence of the Almighty God, because I seek His presence, not just on Sundays, but daily, moment by moment. And so therefore, my face will glow like the sun, and so will yours. Because when you spend time in the presence of the Almighty God, the Eternal One, the Shekinah glory just kind of radiates through you. Because you've spent time with the Son. You should leave this service today glowing like the sun. Come on, you should sound like and look a whole lot like Jesus because you've spent time with Jesus this morning. Even if you don't daily, you should at least on Sundays. Come on, Christians. Morgan led us into His holy presence this morning. You were in the Holy of Holies this morning. You weren't hiding out behind the veil. You were ushered into the presence of the Almighty God, the Shekinah glory. I didn't share this earlier, but when I came up to the stage and I was standing right over here, and I don't know if the camera will follow me or not, but please do. I was standing right here and Morgan went back into worship. I felt a gush of wind hit me. I had to open my eyes because I thought someone had just walked by me. Remember what we prayed at the very beginning of the service. God, show us your glory. And what did he say? I'm getting ready to pass by. And he passed by. See, the world needs us to look and to sound a lot like Jesus in this hour of history. While the world is confused, they need a church that's not. See, the darker the night gets, the brighter the light must shine. And just like this glow in the dark star, the more exposure, the more it glows. In Psalms 119, 105, most of you probably have it memorized. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But I want to read it from the Message Bible. It says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. The Passion Translation says, truth shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. And then the Living Bible says that the word is a flashlight. And like spending time in the sun, when we spend time in the word, we glow. It's just automatic, church. When you spend time in the word of God, you begin to glow. But listen, you don't just glow, you grow. And the more you grow, the more you glow. You glow by growing. Point number four, when we grow in the word, we glow in the world. I said, when you grow in the word, you will undoubtedly glow in this world. Daniel 12:3 says, and those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance. And those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like stars forever and ever. See, no matter how dark the night gets or this room gets, this flashlight gives light. How many can see it? Every person in this place. As the world gets darker, we need to shine brighter. But listen, we don't shine brighter by blending in to society. We don't shine brighter by hiding. We shine brighter by letting it shine. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. Let's go back to Revelation. In verse 4, the Bible says, and when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. Verse 7. The wait is over. Time's up. Verse 7 says, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Daniel, an Old Testament prophet, had a similar vision in Daniel chapter 12. And although his vision is slightly different, it carries the same revelation. Let's look at the similarities. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 4. And the Bible says, but you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand, and then he lifted his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. What does that mean? It means 3.5 years, which is the last half of the tribulation. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all of these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. Can I read that again? Because this is Daniel, an Old Testament prophet who heard directly from God, said, I read, or he said, I heard, but I did not understand. Come on, think about it. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all of this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And what did Daniel say earlier in this chapter? Those who are wise will what? Shine. They will glow. They will beam. They will radiate with the glory of God. This revelation is sealed up until the end, until God reveals it. And it's not until He reveals it will we truly understand it. It's like hindsight. We won't understand it until He reveals it. There are some things that are coming during the tribulation that are coming upon this world that we'll never know until they come, according to Revelation, because it's sealed. It isn't revealed. The Lord told John, and He told Daniel to seal it up, to seal this message, to seal these words, to seal the prophecy and the revelation. But yet today, there are many scholars who try to speculate what was said. But listen, church, if God said seal up the words, I don't care how smart you think you are, how much revelation you think you have, how anointed you are, you can speculate all day long, but it won't be revealed until God reveals it. It will remain completely unknown until God reveals it. Why? Because it's sealed. Verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking to me, and saying, go take the book, scroll, which is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and the land. If you remember back to Revelation chapter 5, there was a scroll that was closed. Remember, it was sealed with seven seals. This scroll is now open. We remember Jesus was the only one that was able, found worthy to open or to break the seals that was on the scroll. Scholars say this isn't the same seal or the same scroll, but let's just keep reading. So I went up to the angel and told him to give me the little book. So John went up to the angel and said, give me the book. Could anybody walk up to Jesus in their right mind and say, give me anything? Just give me the book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. You might remember this also in Ezekiel. So I took the little book from the angel's hand and I ate it. And in my mouth it was as sweet as honey, but once I had swallowed it, my stomach was bitter. In the footnotes of the Passion Translation, it says honey is a picture of revelation knowledge. This scroll reveals God's promised judgment on the world. And how many know that judgment for believers is far different than judgment for unbelievers? But this scroll reveals the judgment for both. And while judgment for believers is sweet, because the wait is over, for unbelievers, it's a bitter reality because the wait is over. Time has run out. But note that this revelation is the same for both. Both for believers and unbelievers. The revelation is time's up. Time's up for believers and time's up for unbelievers. And although it's the same exact words for both, it carries two very different meanings. For the church, it's great revelation because it's what we've been praying for. It's what we've been waiting for, church, for when we receive our eternal reward. But for the world, it's bitter revelation because it's what they've ignored. See, for us, time's up means the wait is over. But for the world, it means time is up. And John was both encouraged and saddened by this revelation. I don't know about you, but this series has had the same effect on me. I've been greatly encouraged for the sake of the church because we're going to be raptured out of here, y'all. But at the same time, I've been greatly saddened for the sake of the world, because many are going to be left behind. And they're going to be judged in their sin. Like the scroll, it's bittersweet. It tastes good, but it's hard to swallow. It's like this. There are some things that we all need to hear, but we don't always want to hear. Right? Anyone? Husbands? There are some things that we need to hear from our wives. Most things. Who am I kidding? Everything that she says. We need to hear, but we don't always want to hear. Right? Or things we need to hear from our boss, our coworkers, our classmates, our coach, our teacher, our parents, our in-laws, but we don't always want to hear. It's no different with the Word of God. There are things that the church, that the world needs to hear today, but don't necessarily want to hear it. In fact, people leave churches because of this. And how many love the Word of God? Come on. I mean, we all love the Word of God, right? And we want to be in a place, in a house, where nothing but the Word of God is preached, right? Where the full Word of God, there's no sugarcoating, no cultural Christianity, but true, full gospel, the full Word of God. We all love the Word, right? But we don't always like the Word, do we? Come on. Let's be real. It's like our in-laws. We love them, but don't always like them. Too many smiles. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the message is hard to hear. And I want you to think about this. Just as hard as it is for you to hear, it's even harder for me to preach at times. Because I know the mindset of our world. I know what will get you up on your feet and make you shout and roar and clap your hands. And I can preach that all day long. God is going to make a way. As soon as you walk out, He's going to give you a brand new car, and He's going to pay all your bills, and He's going to give you a new job, and you're going to live this prosperous life your entire life. I can preach that all day long, but I refuse to, because it's not truth. Sometimes truth is hard to swallow. Like the consequences of sin, our sin. If our lifestyle doesn't line up with the Word, if it's following culture versus Christ, or the judgment that's coming on this world, our world, people in our world, that can be hard to hear, hard to swallow, especially when it doesn't confirm your lifestyle, when your lifestyle doesn't line up with the Word. Instead of confirming it, it convicts you or even rebukes you. It's hard truth. And although we don't always want to hear the cold, hard truth, we're required to hear it. We need to hear it. And we have to preach it. And we have to share it. This scroll, this message, if I could get Kylie to come join me on keys. This scroll, this message, this revelation that John had to swallow was the cold, hard truth. And when you and I truly digest the Word of God, it has the same effect on us. It tastes like honey, but it's bitter to our tummy. Because this judgment that's coming to our world is coming to our world. It's coming to the people in our world. People we know and love. people we live with and do life with, people we work with, people you go to class with and maybe even go to church with. It's cold, hard truth. It's bittersweet. See, time's up for those who are right, for the church, for believers. It means the wait is over. And that's a praise God, hallelujah. I could just jump up and down and do a little tap dance right now. But on the reverse side, time's up means time's up. It's bittersweet. If I could get you to stand to your feet. I want to close with a passage in Psalms that is very, very impacting. If you can just let these words flow, not just into your ears, but into your hearts. God's word is perfect in every way. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. This is Psalms 19, 7 through 13. King David said, God's word is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. The only way to have revival is to preach the word. His law leads us to truth, and his ways change the simple into wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiate his light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. Just because the word is challenging doesn't mean you should reject it. Doesn't mean that you should run from it. Fear it. See, many in our world today, even in the church, fear cold, hard truth. Fear a word that challenges them. They fear it, they reject it, and they run from it. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Because when we spend time in his word, we begin to glow and grow. Shine. Yeah, thank you. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. For they warn us, his servants, and keep us from flowing or following the wicked way. Given a lifetime guarantee, great success to every obedient soul. Without this revelation light, how would I ever detect the waywardness of my heart? Lord, forgive my hidden flaws whenever you find them. Keep cleansing me, God, and keep me from my secret, selfish sins. May they never rule over me, for only then will I be set free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion. Powerful, powerful passage. But yet, how sweet it is, it's just as bitter. Because it causes us to examine ourselves. And remember, Paul said, examine yourselves daily. Notice he said, reveal secret, hidden sins. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, right now I pray that as we journey through this book of Revelation, that you would give revelation to your church, to your people. God, not just of the symbology and the secret things of your word, but the secret things in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. That we try to hide from the world, those around us, the ones we love. But God, we know that nothing is hidden from you. So Father, I pray that through this sermon, that great revelation would be given to your people. God, reveal things in our hearts, not to expose us, God, but to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to give us the boldness, the faith, and the courage to walk away from those things, to never pick them up again, to not even think on them. So right now, God, if there's anyone in this place, God, that's been living in sin, in a secret sin, a hidden sin, God, begin to reveal to that person. And God, I pray right now that more than condemnation, no condemnation in this house, but conviction would set in. And that your Holy Spirit will begin to woo that heart and that mind. And that they would come to the great revelation that your mercy always triumphs over your judgment. And God, in this moment, that your mercy is ever so sufficient to forgive us of every sin. And so right now, God, I pray that, that grace and mercy would just flow over the sanctuary. God, hidden sins, secret sins, open sins, sins of omission, commission. Right now, let your mercy just flow. God, let us walk out of this place radiating with the glory of your Son, Jesus, because we've spent time in his presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. In your mighty name, everyone says, amen. Again, it was so good to see each and every one of you today. We are praying for you daily, praying that God would reveal daily, not just on Sundays, but when you pick up his word, that he would reveal his love for you, his grace toward you, and his mercy that triumphs over you. God bless and have a great week.